Hello,
and welcome to the Squadcast, the official podcast of GenreSquad.com. We're your hosts, Robert Sutton.
And Sean Stidham.
And this week, in celebration of Black Widow finally coming out, yes, we are doing our favorite action heroines.
Heroines?
Heroines?
Instead of heroes.
Heroes, yeah. She-ros?
The girl stuff.
She-ros?
She-ros.
whatever you like.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I do like that.
Our favorite female badasses, basically, is what we're going to do today. And we'll start off with our favorite thing of the week. We'll list our top 10 films featuring female action heroes. And then as a special super geeky versus, we're going to do the most powerful women from the DCEU and face them off versus the most powerful women from the MCU.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah. How's it going, Sean?
Nerdy, nerdy topic.
Yeah, this is going to be super nerdy today.
Oh, it's going real good. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Good. Good to hear.
Yeah, yeah. Looking forward to this weekend.
All right. Cool.
Cool, yeah. All right. If you want to get started, we'll go into our favorite thing of the week.
Favorite thing of the week.
Yeah, there's a lot that's been going on entertainment wise.
Well, do you want to save the best stuff for last?
I'm going to save the Marvel stuff for you.
Okay, all right.
And I'll do the other stuff I want to talk about. Since we've last recorded, I don't know if we call them episodes, but two movies of the Fear Street trilogy have come out on Netflix.
We're all cursed. The witch is real.
She put a curse on Shadyside.
She's been possessing people, turning them into killers to take revenge on the town. It happens to Shadyside over and over.
Bad things happen here. You can't stop her. Your best chance is to run from this place.
And they're really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like I don't know. I'm a big fan of what they're doing with it. The newest one comes out tomorrow, and hopefully it sticks the landing. But so far, you've got kind of a perfect 90s. I don't want to say just a slasher because it's actually more of a paranormal, witchy sort of thing.
Yeah, they're supernatural
slasher, yeah, where they're using a slasher as a killer. And in Fear Street 1994, and then Fear Street 1978, I think.
Yeah.
That's straight up camp slasher. I mean, obviously they're at a summer camp.
The supernatural elements almost put it in a giallo territory. Like there's this almost Suspiria thing going on.
Well, with the witch.
With the witch stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
The beating heart. In the second one.
God. So gross.
It's really gross. It's really it's wild because it's set up like a Fear Street book, right? Or like a campy sort of like teen like show or something like that. And then it just goes into the most like gruesome deaths and like most heartbreaking, like almost to the point where it's like too much.
Right.
With the kills of the characters you like. So
Yeah, I had some issues with the first film for those very reasons. They killed off a couple of characters that I really liked, and it seemed like they saved the most gruesome kills for them, which is not typical, I feel like, of a lot of
the genre. But, you know, it's subverting expectations, I think.
That's true.
It's also, you know, you needed to see that one character. I don't want to spoil, you know.
Sure.
Who it is needed to see that to, you know.
Yeah.
And their two reactions when seeing it are, like, I think,
right,
emblematic of their characters. So I think that was important. I hated it. It broke my heart. But you know, I understand why they did it.
Right.
But yeah, the third one that comes out tomorrow is Fear Street 1666. And I don't know if you stuck around for the
post-credit?
Little like clip they showed.
I did.
I mean, yeah, it looks wild. I mean,
it looks crazy. I'm a little scared. Like,
when you're supposed to be.
Well, I know. The thing is that the two they've done before are sort of like established slasher genres, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Is there another slasher that's set in 1666? You know?
Oh, like, yeah. You don't know about the Salem witch slasher.
I mean, I guess it goes back to, you know, Baba's doing that shit. So
yeah. And I mean, I'm okay with it doing something new.
Oh yeah, me too.
Like, I think that would be really cool to have, like, you know, sort of a slasher movie set during that time period is really interesting.
Right.
And I think this has the balls to do that.
Sure.
So. The other thing I wanted to talk about, go ahead.
I was a big fan of the second one, actually. I thought it really, it's probably just the summer camp setting and everything. I just think it mimicked your classic sort of slasher better than the first one did, 90s slashers. That's just my
The first one, you know, the first one is creating, you know, the mythology, right?
Yeah.
So it kind of comes in, like the second one comes in with more of a, you know, a foundation that it can just go ahead and just get started with, right?
Sure.
So, you know, I think that's mainly the case there. If you're ready to move on with this one. I also read Riley Sager's latest book called Survive the Night.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if any of our listeners... I hate saying that, but anybody that listens to his show has ever read any of his books, but they're really good. He's I hate to use this word, a thriller writer.
Okay.
He's a horror writer. And, but he does sort of, you know, as far as books go, like bends toward the thriller genre.
Right.
This is really good and I highly recommend it.
Awesome.
What's I don't really want to even.
You don't want to describe it enough.
I didn't want to say the premise because that in itself is a, you know,
kind of a spoiler. Sure,
but it's basically a girl's best friend gets murdered and she has to leave the college where she was roommates with her, and she gets a ride share with somebody else who might be a murderer.
Okay,
so that's that.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Excuse me, but you go. You go now, Rob.
All right. Well, I've got a few things I want to get through before we get to Marvel.
Okay.
First off, I want to start with the worst movie I've seen in the last few weeks. It's called The Tomorrow War.
1 minute to jump.
How are you so calm?
Long story.
Yeah, ex-military?
Kind of a short story, I guess.
Welcome to the future. Listen up. We are humanity's last hope.
I'm gonna save the world. I'll get my coat.
Come on!
The Tomorrow War, July 2nd, rated PG-13.
It's currently streaming on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime.
Now, you and I tried to watch this together and couldn't get through 20 minutes, right?
Well, yes and no. I mean, we kind of just were like,
let's watch something else.
Yeah, The Quiet Place too.
Yeah, but I slugged it out through the rest of this movie. I will say it's kind of fun.
Sure.
In that sort of like bad blockbuster sort of way, you know, which I enjoy. Like, you know, sometimes I just like a big, loud movie, and this is that. Features Chris Pratt having to go back in time. Well, actually, he goes forward in time to save the Earth from an alien invasion. I will say the monsters are pretty cool. There's two actually really good sequences of action. And the end is sort of satisfying. Pratt's okay. I will say that J.K. Simmons is in the movie, and he's awesome.
What's the deal with J.K. Simmons now?
I don't know.
Did he just get on steroids?
He's huge in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. This is the second thing on Amazon Prime where he's kind of played a dad.
Yeah.
Less than dubious. Like, he's, you know, on the outs with Chris Pratt, apparently abandoned him as a child. But now he's trying to get a relationship with him. Anyway, they try to repair their bond, you know, while fighting aliens.
I mean, how else would you do it, really?
That's true. That's true.
I mean, that's the best way.
But there's some cool action. It's pretty violent. It's like the bad version of Edge of Tomorrow, basically.
Yeah. That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah. I kind of wish somebody else was in the lead is the problem. Pratt's in this, but he's not very funny. Mm. And when he's not being funny, I don't know that he's a very good actor. Turns out.
I think he's okay. He's fine. He's in the Sam Worthington sort of.
Right. Well, he's above that, obviously, because he's in Marvel movies and we love him
I mean, when he's, you know, not being hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's that level of action star, right. I think.
He's more serious in this than he is in his Jurassic World movies, if that tells you anything.
It does.
Yeah. All right, moving on. I watched No Sudden Move on HBO Max.
I'm going to get what's mine. Don't let me be
misunderstood. I think you're the only one that can make a move.
I have a proposition for you.
It's never your fault, is it?
This whole thing is offensive.
Do you think I'm a schemer?
Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Which is the new noir film from Steven Soderbergh. It's pretty good.
That's surprising, because it looks great.
Yeah, it's not quite as good as the cast that's in it. You know what I mean? It's kind of saggy in the middle. I feel like it starts off amazing and it ends very interestingly. But in the middle, I feel like
it's got a crazy cast.
Yeah, man. Don Cheadle's in this thing. Benicio Del Toro, John Hamm. David Harbour is awesome in it.
Brendan Fraser,
Kieran Culkin, and internet favorite Julia Fox.
Who's
She is the lady from the Adam Sandler movie, Uncut Gems.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
The girlfriend?
Yes, the girlfriend.
Okay, yeah.
But they're all terrific in it. I think that there's a really fun cameo toward the end of the movie that your wife especially will enjoy. So.
Yeah. You son of a bitch.
Next up, I saw Fast 9 or F9, the Fast Saga.
We're up against us, brother.
That's another level.
But I got a plan.
Man, we really need to work on your plan.
Rated PG-13 in theaters Friday.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, which we haven't talked about on the show yet. You know, it's awesome in that special Fast and Furious way.
Fast and Furious.
Yeah. If you throw physics out the window and don't think about those things, it's kind of incredible. So,
right.
It just gets to a point where they're almost superheroes. There's a moment in the movie where Vin Diesel has like a test of strength. It's just ridiculous.
What do you mean almost superheroes?
Let me tell you, they go to space in this movie, and that is one of the least ridiculous things in the movie.
How's John Cena?
John Cena is awesome, but he is also like real serious and not funny in the movie. So it's like, but I still
enjoy for that it. Oscar.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see it again with you. I think that would be a very, very good time. Fun. Yeah.
Of course.
lastly, a movie we did watch together.
Right.
Werewolves Within. Oh, crap. I didn't even mention Quiet Place 2, which is also very good.
You won't survive.
We have to try.
A Quiet Place, only in theaters. Rated PG-13.
It's fantastic.
It's really, really great. That opening sequence is wonderful. I would put it on par with Zack Snyder's opening on Dawn of the Dead.
I'd say it's better.
Wow. I tell you, it came out of nowhere. John Krasinski is a terrific director, turns out. Mm-hmm. That's two in a row he's done that are really, really terrific movies. There's a sequence in the middle where he's juggling three different things that are happening in the story, three different subplots, and it is so exciting.
I'll spoil this. This is my favorite movie of the year so far.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, it's a really, really terrific movie. I can't blame you.
Sounded like you could.
You know. It's in my top 10.
Your top 10 is wild.
It is crazy right now. Number four on my list currently is Werewolves Within.
Werewolves Within, right.
Yeah. Directed by Josh Rubin.
I know it's easy to get caught up in the fear of the situation. I know it's easy to point the finger and fear each other. But can we all just take a breath? Please hold off on being enemies. All I'm asking is that you be a good neighbor. Like Mr. Rogers.
With guns, though.
With guns, yes.
Which is actually based on the video game Werewolves Within.
I can't even find that online.
I saw it on Amazon the other day. It was like $10 or something. It wasn't much at all.
Yeah.
But I think it's a VR game.
Yeah, I tried to go on Wikipedia and read about it just because I was like, I've got to like figure out if this is funny
or not. Because the movie is very funny.
Yeah, I couldn't find anything.
It's about a park ranger played by Sam Richardson, who
fantastic.
Yeah, moves to a. I'm sorry?
He's also in Tomorrow War?
He is also in Tomorrow War, and I Think You Should Leave season two, which is also out currently. It's a big time to be Sam Richardson. But this man. Yeah, he's a park ranger that moves to this town. Did they say it's in Alaska or something? Or it's in like the Northwest?
Yeah, I thought it was in Canada. Northeast. No, I guess it's not Canada because it's U.S. postal.
Yeah.
I think it is supposed to be Alaska.
It's a cold climate. And the movie's like Clue, where murders keep happening and that sort of thing. Only it's they suspect one of them is a werewolf.
A lycanthrope.
And the movie's hilarious. It keeps escalating. It's super violent toward the end.
Yes. This is my second favorite movie of the year so far.
I love this movie. Wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of... I don't know any of their names other than Sam. I don't know
his last name. Milana Weintraub plays Cecily in the movie.
Yeah, she's so good.
Adorable. She's kind of like Sam Richardson's love interest in the film, and who's also a newcomer to the town. And she's just terrific.
Yeah, he's the new forest ranger, right?
Yeah, yeah. And she's the new male person. Yeah, so funny, kind of tense. It's got some decent horror in it, too, I feel like.
Sure.
But yeah,
it's the best werewolf movie in a while.
Yeah, definitely. I really like, I don't know if I can. There's a dude in it that Emerson Flint, that's right, played by Glenn Fleshler, who ended up being the bad guy in the first season of True Detective. And he's like this, like, he's this creepy, like, almost feral hunter in the movie. Yeah. He wears like animal skins and shit. And he's terrific in the movie. So, so funny and scary. And then lastly, I guess we need to get to the Marvel stuff. So Loki finished up this week, or do you want to talk about Black Widow first?
I feel like we should talk about Black Widow first.
Okay. Well, Black Widow came out finally.
You don't know everything about me. The Avengers weren't my first family. At some point, we all have to choose between what the world wants you to be and who you are.
After being delayed like 18 times.
Yeah. It's over like a year and a half, right? Yeah. Like,
and what'd you think of it?
I thought it was really, really good. It's a Black Widow movie, so there's nothing too outrageous,
right,
in it. But for what it is, it's both surprisingly funny,
mm-hmm.
or I guess more funny than you would think it would be, and it's has better action than I thought it would. And I thought it was going to be a good action movie, but it's way better.
Yeah.
It's a great spy movie.
The first half really reminded me of like a Bourne movie.
A Bourne movie, yeah.
Or one of the Daniel Craig, James Bond films. Yeah. And then the end of the film is a giant, you know, Marvel film.
Yeah. It reminded me of Winter Soldier a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in that way.
Yeah.
Although I don't understand how they never see this giant thing flying in the sky, but that's neither here nor there.
Sure.
David Harbour is really funny. Rachel Weisz is good.
Yeah.
But the star for me, other than Scarlett Johansson, who's great, but Florence Pugh is like on another level.
I cannot wait to see Florence. I cannot wait to see Florence
Pugh. I'm really excited to see what they do with her.
Yeah. You know what's incredible is there are all these incredible action scenes in the movie.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's giant stations that are blowing up in the sky and you know, cool bike chases and stuff like that. My favorite scene is the scene with just Florence Pugh and Scarlett Johansson in a car, and they're talking about
her
vest. Yeah, like,
yeah.
Florence Pugh's characters never bought a piece of clothing before, and yeah, she buys a vest for herself, and they're just talking about how cool
it's a really cool vest.
Yeah,
it's a lot of pockets.
I love it. It's just this nice personal moment. They have a terrific rapport together. Like, their chemistry is wonderful.
Yeah, they have great chemistry. Yeah,
I'm very sad they've killed off, you know, Scarlett Johansson in the MCU, because yeah, I want to see more of that together. But
well, look, I mean, you got to move on,
right?
At a certain point, I mean, you know, we've lost Iron Man and Captain America. It makes sense to lose Black Widow too.
I mean, man, when it comes down to it, it just feels good that there's a Marvel movie in theaters right now.
Sure,
like that. Just there's a new movie out. It's the biggest signal, like a sort of return to normalcy. That I could think of, just having a Marvel movie out right now.
No question.
And then, to follow it up, Marvel finishes up Loki season one.
Loki, you are charged with escaping from your timeline. How do you plead?
A god doesn't plead. Now, hang on just a minute.
Our timeline is in chaos. We need Loki.
Trusting this man is not a good idea.
You cross me, there are deadly consequences.
Go for it.
I get a weapon? Gear up. Don't those
absolutely
feel
not.
Now streaming only on Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm. Which is not very action heavy.
Right.
But is terrific. Most of it is just three people talking.
Yeah, I think that's people's biggest complaint about it is that there is no fireworks, really.
Right.
Quote but, them, my friend but, Scott.
But that's what I liked about it.
I mean, I do too. You know, not everything. And also, I think that the, you know, the big surprise that there's going to be a second season is also a
point of contention.
Well, not a point. Well, it is a point of contention, but I think it's a reason why there wasn't the big battle or whatever, you know.
Right.
It's because you got to like leave something there for the leave some meat on the bone. Plus, it's a jumping off point, too. Mm-hmm. Instead of a conclusion to something like this is like they had to create something in order for the rest of this phase four to go through. So,
yeah,
I get it. But I think like in it's just. In his descriptions or Kang, you know, Kang's descriptions of. The multiversal war and everything that it is sort of action packed.
Mm-hmm.
In that way, because I mean, you know,
yeah,
it was cool. It just does. Yeah, what'd you think?
I loved it. You know, there is one fight scene in the movie which was actually one of the best fights that they've had so far on the show, but I love the episode was just three people sitting around right. a desk and talking, and it was really interesting. It sets up, yeah, what they're going to do in the rest of phase four.
I mean, I think it's important to remember that the show's about Loki.
Yeah.
And that's a character that's always used as words.
Right.
As weapons, you know, instead of like, you know,
actual,
you know, like, he does stab people, but like, you know, right. he usually talks his way into that moment.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I mean, look, Tom Hiddleston is. If I was going to list my favorite actors in the MCU, Tom Hiddleston's way up there.
Sure.
And yeah, this was just a wonderful showcase for him. And, you know, Loki's interactions with Sylvie and their argument. And I tell you, having, you know, is it Immortus? Is that what they're calling him?
Well, he is Kang, but the version of Kang he is Immortus.
Is Immortus, right.
Which is the they also combined it with the He Who Remains
yeah.
character from the TVA time, arc in Marvel,
right?
Who's the guy who like creates the TVA and sends everyone back?
I had a friend that was complaining about his portrayal
of Kang.
Yeah, Jonathan Majors who plays He Who Remains in the last episode. They wanted a more stoic person or whatever, whereas I like that Jonathan Majors plays him kind of insane.
Well, the point, I don't want to sound like the actual guy, but the point of the character is that he is the good one,
right,
of that character that survived. So right. he's not like stoic and evil, and he has gone a little insane
yeah.
over time. I mean, you know, you would. And you also kind of have to believe that this has been happening to him for a really long time. Like right. he's went through this a bunch.
He's kind of giddy, you know, yeah. to see what happens even to himself because he doesn't quite know.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's
you're going to get the stoic.
Right.
Kang soon. You're going to get a bunch of different versions of Kang.
Right.
But I think the Kang the Conqueror and Ant-Man and Wasp will be very different.
I'm just glad we didn't get, you know, the architect from, you know,
oh, God,
Matrix yeah. Reloaded or something. You know what I mean? Like, this guy goes through a ton of exposition, but he's really fun watching him.
Yeah.
While he's doing it. And yeah, it's a super fun, super fun.
Vis-a-vis.
Yeah. Concordedly.
Wow, you said that great.
Yeah. All right.
God, we haven't even started this.
Yeah, we both love Loki. That's the it's tough when we don't do this week to week because there's always a ton of shit to catch up on.
Sure.
All right. Let's get to our main event.
And now our feature presentation.
All right, we're gonna do our top 10 action heroes that happen to be female.
She rose. I'm fine with going with that.
All right. First up,
number 10,
we have got Harley Quinn, played by Margot Robbie in Birds of Prey.
Can I help you?
I'm here to report a terrible crime. Joker and I broke up. And a lot of people want me dead. Oh, shit. He's after all of us now. Unless we all want to die, we're going to have to work together.
With you.
Are we ready? Woo!
Thought you were going to say Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this movie's an absolute blast.
It is. It's God, I don't know if it's my second favorite DC movie.
Yeah.
Besides Aquaman.
Sure.
And maybe Shazam. But yeah, this is the best story of Harley Quinn that's been told
so far. Yeah.
So far, yeah.
I am very, very excited about the Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad might be, or you know, the next one that's coming out.
Yeah.
Maybe my most anticipated film of the year right now. It just looks so fun and ridiculous. And I know James Gunn's just going to kill it. The early reviews that are out right now are really outstanding. So,
yeah. I'm sure it's going to be great. But Birds of Prey, or the Emancipation of Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah, Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of one Harley Quinn.
Right. It's a great... I love what they do with the Joker in this movie.
Where he's basically off screen.
Yeah, I love that. Especially since, you know, it would be Jared Leto.
Yeah, we just skipped that part.
It's a ton of fun. It's actually emotional. Plus it has a great egg sandwich. So
it sure does. The movie's a lot like John Wick. Instead of a dog dying, it's an egg sandwich.
Yeah.
Or an egg and cheese sandwich.
Yeah. It's a breakfast sandwich.
This movie's very irreverent. It kind of reminds me of the Deadpool movies, but not quite as obnoxious.
Yeah. Yeah. A little less looking at the camera and saying how funny he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, the cast is really good too.
Yeah, the cast is wonderful. I love Mary Elizabeth Winstead's playing Huntress in this movie, and it's almost like she's in a different movie. She's in her own like revenge film for most of the movie until she just pops
in every once in a while.
Yeah,
Rosie Perez is really good.
Journey Smollett plays Black Canary, and she is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tell you. Ewan McGregor is playing Black Mask in this film, and he is having
an
absolute blast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a great villain.
He is chewing scenery like there's no tomorrow. He's basically playing the Joker.
Right. God, he would be a better Joker.
Jared Leto, yes. Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Moving on. We have The Long Kiss Goodnight, directed by Rennie Harlan.
Ah, yes.
Point and spray. Okay? Run for your life!
Land down, action!
Meet the newest team in action. Ah! Gina Davis.
Cheers.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Nobody move!
Honk if there's any trouble.
Yeah, so Miss Daisy, I'd be honking.
The Long Kiss Goodnight. Land down, directed by Rennie Harlan. Rated R. Opens Friday, October 11th. Special preview Saturday in selected theaters.
Starring Gina Davis as Samantha King.
Long Kiss Goodnight. Oh man, Gina Davis is so cool. Is this the first really cool Samuel L. Jackson?
Let's see. This is 96. He had already done Pulp Fiction.
Oh, had he?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, he had, hadn't he?
Yeah, because Pulp Fiction's 94. Fuck. Yeah. I was thinking this was earlier than Pulp Fiction, but yeah, that's too.
Wild.
He is so funny in this movie.
Yeah. And Geena Davis is a fucking badass in this movie.
She's awesome.
Got this in Cutthroat Island.
And then their marriage ended.
Right. Right. That's true. Yeah.
She's amazing. She's amazing in this movie, though. And this is honestly, I don't know that I would put this over Die Hard 2, but this is one of Renny Harlin's best movies.
Yeah, I think it's better. You know, just because Die Hard 2 is what it is.
Right.
I think I would rather watch this movie.
Well, the fun part is that you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's about a lady that's has amnesia. It's kind of like a Bourne movie, I guess, where.
I think that's pretty much because the Bourne books had already been out for a while.
Right. You've got a homemaker who basically realizes one day that she used to be a super spy.
Yeah.
And then she goes on the road and starts killing people. And that's.
And she dyes her hair blonde. She looks awesome.
Yeah. Really awesome. And starts doing karate and stuff. And that.
Doing karate. I don't know.
But yeah, it's super fun.
Yeah. It's. I feel like it's a movie no one talks about anymore.
I don't know why.
Way better. It's way better than like a lot of the movies from the 90s that get remembered.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, and it's a Shane Black script or crypt. God, I can't talk today.
Script.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a Shane Black script.
Like, I mean, yeah. It's, I always lump Long Kiss Goodnight and Last Boy Scout together.
Yes.
Like that's a good double feature.
That would be an awesome double feature. Yeah. Also it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah. Well, it's a Shane Black movie.
So. Yeah. Really, really good stuff. There's some terrific action in this movie too. So, all right, moving on. Number 8, we have Atomic Blonde, directed by David Leitch.
Agent Broughton, she's our best intelligence expert. We have a mission for you.
Shall we begin?
Yeah, starring.
I'm surprised this isn't higher.
Charlize Theron. Well, you know, there's a lot of movies here.
I know you're a big fan of this
movie. I am a big fan. I was actually watching it this week.
Yeah,
it's basically Charlize Theron's John Wick, is what this movie is.
That is what it is, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's one of those where the guys were sitting around going, "What if we made John Wick but with a girl?"
Right,
but it works.
Oh, it does. Yeah. But it's got such a cool look. That's what one of the things I love about it. It takes place in the 80s in Germany. Yeah.
It's sexier than John Wick.
It certainly is. yeah. Well, I mean, Charlize Theron spends quite a bit of this movie in different states of undress.
Well,
even when she's fully dressed, it's something.
Well, when she's fully dressed, you're going to die.
Yeah.
And especially when she's almost halfway dressed, you're probably gonna die.
Yeah. But wow, what a movie. Like I said, it takes place in Germany right before the fall of the Berlin Wall.
Right.
And it just has this incredible look, where it's desaturated when it's outside, and then a lot of the interiors have all this like neon colors, but it's not obnoxious, and it's not that sort of like itchy 80s look. It's
It looks exactly like you think Berlin probably looked back then.
Yeah.
Right. Like if you went outside, like it could be the end of the world and you wouldn't know it.
Like the East Berlin of my dreams, right? Is what this movie is. I will say there is an action sequence in the middle of this movie involving a hallway fight and then a staircase fight and then a car chase that I truly believe is one of the best action sequences of all time.
I can't remember. Is this the same stunt team?
Yeah, it is the 87-11 stunt team. In fact, Keanu was training for John Wick 2 at the same time Charlize was training for this. So they actually like trained together.
And they fell in love.
They need to make a movie together. She needs to be in like John Wick 5.
Like the Atomic Blonde walks in. She'd have to be old though, right? Like,
or whatever. whatever. I
mean, maybe it's her daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, it's their daughter.
Jesus.
John Wick, and I'd just call her Atomic Blonde.
Nice. But a huge recommendation. This actually has a really terrific cast also.
Is it John Blonde or Atomic Wick?
James McAvoy's in this playing another spy. You've got John Goodman in this movie. Who's also really great. John
Goodman is in this movie.
He's so great. He's a CIA agent. Toby Jones is also in this. It's got all the espionage you would want from like a hard spy movie, but also.
What's great is like McAvoy is playing the feminine role in the movie.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Sort of like.
Yeah, because she's an unstoppable badass in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Speaking of unstoppable badasses, at number 7, we've got Captain Marvel.
About to show these boys how we do it. You ready?
Higher, further, faster, baby.
Yes, baby.
Higher. Further. Faster.
Right.
I'm glad this made Brie Larson.
I'm glad this made the list. I mean, it almost has to, but
sure. Well, I mean, if we're gonna do a one-on-one fight with anyone else in this movie, like she would be well, the ultimate winner, right? Yeah, I know.
Well, sure. Right, she has an infinity gem inside her, Rom.
Yeah, right.
So, of course, she would win.
Sure.
Sorry.
She destroys an entire fleet of starships at the end of this film.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love this movie. I think this movie gets shit because of how, God, I don't want to say it out loud, but
well, you know, look, she's a
female character. She is.
She's a polarizing figure. She's the most powerful character in the Marvel universe.
Yeah, I feel like she makes soy boys feel
feel less bad than. About
themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's a jerk, right?
Kind of, but that's what I like about her.
Well, no, yeah, like I feel like that's only because she's a woman. Like people right. say she's a jerk.
Oh yeah,
just because if a guy was acting the way she is, she'd be funny.
She's absolutely no more of a jerk than Star-Lord. She's no more of a jerk than Star-Lord.
Of course,
yeah.
Of course not, and no one says Chris Pratt.
Yeah,
is a jerk in those movies.
Right.
Or unlikable. Like, if anything, he's like, you know, considered maybe the most likable of all right. of them. So.
Well, especially now that, you know, Iron Man's dead.
Did you like that I said soy boy?
Yeah, no, it was good. You pulled that out.
I don't really even know what that means. I just saw it the other day.
Sure.
So.
But yes, Captain Marvel. Yeah, I mean, it's a fun space adventure, and then you get a cool buddy comedy with her and Samuel Jackson again.
That's fantastic. Samuel Jackson is the coolest guy.
He sure is.
Like, he can be buddies with anybody in a movie.
He's basically doing the same shtick he's doing.
Yeah.
In Long Kiss Goodnight. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that scene where they're washing dishes is like one of my favorite.
Yeah. The 90s nostalgia is very fun in there. Also, you get the one of the best cats in movie history. So.
Yeah, Flurgan.
Yeah.
It's not a cat.
Ben Mendelsohn also.
Rob. It's not a cat.
Flurkin.
Sorry. Okay. Ben Mendelsohn is great.
Yeah.
And you know,
Jude Law.
Jude Law, yeah. I almost said Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Jude Law's awesome. I love his turn at the end too, like when he's like, "Yes.
Yeah, let's do this." Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, finally, you're getting it.
Yeah, so good. All right, moving on. Number 6, Coffee.
And Annette Bening.
Annette Bening, yes, is also pretty badass.
Hey, you're Annette Bening, aren't you?
Nice.
That one was specifically for Rob.
No one else getting that joke.
No.
Next up, we've got Pam Grier as Coffee.
They call her Coffee, because if you jab her, she'll cream you.
This is the end of your rotten life.
Coffee, the the baddest one chick hit squad that ever hit town.
All your friends are dead. Well, I killed them all.
Coffee. She's got a body men would die for. And lately, a lot of them have.
What a list. You followed Captain Marvel with Coffee.
Yeah. Coffee is my favorite blaxploitation film.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Pam Grier's an all-timer in this. She is so fucking badass.
I haven't seen Coffee in a long time. I didn't do any prep for this.
Yeah.
Is this the one where she has like razor blades in her afro, or is that Foxy Brown?
I believe it's this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Basically, one of her siblings, I believe, yeah, it's her younger sister, gets caught up in drugs. Mm-hmm. And gets severely injured because of it. And she goes on a revenge rampage because of it.
Yeah.
She basically goes and finds all the pushers and the people who got her into that situation and kills them all.
Yeah. I mean, Pam Grier, like, 4-time, right? Like,
oh,
if,
yeah.
If they're a young Pam Grier today, you know. Well,
I mean, she's an icon as it is, but yeah, if she was starring in like huge blockbusters now,
yeah,
good lord, yeah, unstoppable. Good. Yeah, but I love this movie. I think when Grindhouse came out, I went through a big blaxploitation phase where I was watching a ton of those movies, and this one always stuck out for some reason.
Yeah.
It's just,
do you think it's your favorite, you said?
Yeah, I like it more than Foxy Brown. And, Truck Turner is another good one, but I mean, that doesn't have a female lead. But yeah, for some reason, this one just always stuck out in my mind. It's a little harder edged than those other movies are. And like I said, she's awesome in it. She handles a shotgun very well. So this movie's super violent. I think within the first 10 minutes, she's like blown a guy's head off. And it's actually very impressive squib. It looks like she's just killed a guy with a double barrel shotgun.
Yeah, maybe she had.
Maybe.
We don't know what it was like back then. Up on 110th Street.
Next up, we have Linda Hamilton as Sarah Connor in Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
10 years ago, a machine from the future was sent to kill Sarah Connor. It failed.
I'll be back.
But this time, there are two. One programmed to destroy, the other to protect.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Terminator 2, Judgment Day. Rated R. Starts Wednesday, July 3rd at a theater.
Now, this might be a kind of a controversial pick, putting it at number 5.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know there are a lot of Sarah Connor fans out there.
Sarah Connor?
We are less so.
Uh-huh.
While I'll acknowledge she's super badass in the movie.
Well, she's almost unlikable.
Yeah.
She's so badass.
Yeah.
Plus the movie, it's, you know, even though, you know, she's the lead pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is all, it's like an ensemble between the three of them.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day,
I think when you're preferring when you prefer the acting of Edward Furlong, it's not a great sign.
Right. And you know what's surprising is she plays like her Sarah Connor in the first one is actually really good.
Oh, I think she's super likable in the first one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, she's so fucking hard edge.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the question is, if this was a man, would we be, would we have the same argument? I think yes, because, like, she's just an asshole. But, yeah.
Well, I think the thing that she's doing in this movie, other female leads do it better, in my personal opinion.
Well, I think our number one is a good example of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's the argument everyone always has between the movie we'll talk about in a little bit and this one.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're both 100% in the other camp.
That being said, super badass in this movie, right?
Yeah. And Terminator 2 is an awesome movie.
Yeah.
Moving
on. All right. Moving on. We have got Charlize Theron again as Furiosa in Mad Max Fury Road.
My name is Max. A road warrior searching for a righteous cause.
War boys, return my treasures to me.
We're not going back. Come with us.
What do you suppose he's gonna do?
Kill him!
Mad Max Fury Road, May 15th.
Yeah.
A movie with a female character that is so badass, she like basically throws the movie away from the title character.
Yeah. Well, her name is Furiosa.
Yeah.
That's how badass she is.
Sure.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, I mean, this is a Mad Max movie, but it should be called, you know,
Furiosa, right. Yeah. She's basically the main character of the film.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what a movie this is.
That's the best thing about the movie, though, right? Is like you go in expecting a Mad Max movie and you get a Mad Max dropped into this other movie, basically. Yeah. I hate it when I say basically.
Jeez. The movie, though, I mean, as a dramatic performance also, like, she completely kills this movie. Like,
well, I mean, this is like some of the best acting in on this list, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when it comes down to it, yeah, this might be, well, I don't know if it's the best movie on this list.
But I mean, it's one of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there's three on here that have, you know, viable contention of being the number, the best movie on this list. And this is certainly
one of them. Yeah. This is one of the best movies of the last 20 years, I think.
I don't think there's any question.
Man, George Miller, I swear to, like, I can't wait for the next one.
George Miller is like cicadas, right?
He just shows up every 20 years.
Yeah, and like makes an awesome movie and then just goes away.
And makes, you know, Happy Feet movies for a while.
Well, those are easy to make, right?
Sure.
I don't know. Maybe it's really hard.
All right. Next up, we have Michelle Yeoh. Fingers. Michelle Yeoh in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Top critics call Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon a high-velocity, mind-boggling spellbinder that breaks the laws of gravity. It's got everything we go to the movies for. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, rated PG-13, now playing.
Yeah.
This movie is chock full of incredible female performances, actually.
Sure. There's also, what's her name?
Yeah, Zhang Ziyi. This was like her Zhang Ziyi. Yeah. This is her big breakout performance. And then I'm also a big fan of Cheng Pei Pei, who plays the villain, Jade Fox.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say Chow Yun Fat.
Well, I mean, Chow Yun Fat.
big fan of Chow Yun Fat in this female.
Sure. Cheng Pei Pei is actually, you know, this is like a legacy type thing where she was in a ton of old Shaw Brothers films and was one of the original like 70s Hong Kong female action stars.
Right.
So, I mean
this is your favorite movies.
Right? Yeah, I love this movie. It's in my top five. So it's in my top three films of all time. So, and yeah, I think Michelle Yeoh gives a performance. That's the thing, is Michelle Yeoh is so good, even compared to the people that are in this movie. She gives the best performance in this movie, and Chow Yun Fat's in this movie. There's a moment in this movie where she's just standing there watching Chow Yun Fat like practice, and like the look of longing in her eyes. I mean, I still think about it. I think there was one of, you know, how Twitter does those questions every so often, what's the best performance you've ever seen in your life? And I put this, like, I don't know that it's the best performance I've ever seen, but it's really, really incredible. I think she should have won the Oscar for this.
Sure.
And on top of that, has incredible action sequences to boot.
Right. I mean, this is like, you know, reinventing the wheel sort of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Not reinventing, inventing the wheel.
Right.
just the wire work alone in this movie is like, you know, changed everything.
Well, it does all the great action stuff that you would expect from a Hong Kong film, but then gives you drama that I don't know that I've ever seen, you know, in an Asian film before this. Like something.
I think what you're trying to say is it's a really sad movie.
It is very sad. It's, you know, it's. It makes me very sad to watch it. At the same time, yeah. It's so thrilling.
Right.
Because of its wire work. Yan Wupeng did all the, you know, who choreographed The Matrix, did all the fight scenes in this film. And yeah, it's just it's a perfect movie, I think.
All right.
Next up. Uma Thurman as the bride in Kill Bill.
I was quite the professional in an exclusive industry, and we all worked for this man, Bill. But when I tried to get out, they did me in.
I suppose it's a little late for an apology, huh? You suppose correctly.
Hi.
You have every right to want to get even. Get even? Even, Stephen? I would have to kill you. That'd be about square.
Yeah. I put Kill Bill Volume 1, but you know, either one really works here.
Right. How about the whole bloody
the whole bloody affair?
Or affair, yeah. I mean, what can you say? Like, this is like the quintessential like one in the last 20 or 30 years, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah. I love this movie so much. This is the one I feel like Quentin Tarantino made for me, right? Where it's about samurais and Yakuza and assassins. Like, it's just all these different subgenres that I love. Yeah, and it's an incredible, incredible movie.
I mean, above all else, Quentin Tarantino is going to be remembered for writing love letters to different, you know, genres of movies that he loved. And this is, you know, love letter to this genre, and right. it's that certainly.
Yeah, and I know you prefer some of his other films, but this is the one that like speaks to me the most.
Well, that's like,
I know.
Yeah, but some of those films are my favorite movies.
Sure
So yeah, I still love this movie, like both of them. I mean, I prefer the first one. But, you know,
these movies made you love David Carradine, which had never happened before. Right.
It's hard. That's hard.
You were excited to see David Carradine act.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you find me masochistic?
Yeah, this it's a masterpiece.
Yeah.
And yeah, these fight scenes. I don't know if it's Wu-Pang's best stuff, but it's probably his bloodiest stuff.
Sure.
And yeah, it's grueling. You can see all the work that Uma Thurman put into this.
Uh-huh. I mean, it's a movie so bloody it has to go into black and white.
Yeah.
At a certain point.
All right. Number one.
Number two?
Hmm?
We skipped the second one?
No, number two was Kill Bill.
Oh, was it? Wow.
Yeah. Number one, Sigourney Weaver. Sigourney Weaver as Ellen Ripley in Aliens.
You're going out there to destroy them.
That's the plan.
All right, I'm in.
The first time she survived the most terrifying creature in the universe, she thought the nightmare was over.
Something under the floor.
It hadn't even begun.
It's coming straight for us.
That's inside the room.
Sigourney Weaver, Aliens, the new movie. This time, it's war.
Ends,
yeah.
I think it's important to, you know, because, you know, the first movie, she's comes out of nowhere, right?
Right.
And is just a survivor, basically.
Well, she's a final girl in the first movie.
In this movie, she's a badass.
Right.
I mean, she's amazing.
She fights a giant alien in a giant mech suit. And it's the coolest thing you've ever fucking seen.
Get away from her, you bitch.
This is like, I mean,
she said it.
I don't know that there could be a better female action hero than this.
Yeah, I mean, this is the, you know, this is the Terminator 2 versus Aliens argument, right?
Like, I will go Aliens every time.
I mean, there's no question. I don't think that Aliens is both a better movie than Terminator 2. And Ripley is much more likable, has a better arc, you know, everything.
Right.
She tops over Linda Hamilton as Sarah Connor. So
yeah. Well, she still remains likable and super badass. And you get these, like, I tell you, Cameron weaves this movie brilliantly as like her sort of mother instincts come out, you know, throughout the movie, because there's this orphan kid that she sort of adopts, and you feel for them at the end. You get what she's doing and how important Newt becomes to her.
Yeah. I mean, it's wild that they're directed by the same guy.
Right.
And they're just two ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
When it comes to like how they handle stressful situations.
Sure.
And how they protect people, you know?
Yeah. Also, the mother alien in this is one of the best practical effects ever.
Yeah. I would say that the scene where she walks in and sees all the Marines like stuck on the wall, basically, like,
yeah,
is one of the grossest things that I've ever seen in a movie.
And I love this
and movie. I love it.
Yeah. All right. So that's our female action heroes list. So now for a special versus.
It is for the World Heavyweight Championship.
The ultimate male. Woo! Versus. Oh, yeah! The ultimate meatball. You fight great, but I'm a great fighter.
I must break you.
Versus.
We're going to go into full geek mode.
By the way,
before we do that. Sorry, before we do that, do you have any honorable mentions?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to mention Rey from Rey, The Force Awakens. Okay. Lady Snowblood, which is a terrific female central character, and then Azumi.
Azumi's a good one.
Yeah.
It would be on my underrated, like, female performances list. I think Azumi's really good.
This one's kind of hard to find, but yeah, it's about a female ninja.
Yeah.
And she kills about 5,000 people at the end of this movie, so
sure.
Worth seeking out.
Yeah.
All right. And now for our verses.
Let's do it.
Where we are going to pit the most powerful females in the DCEU versus the most powerful ladies from the MCU.
This is a wild idea.
I know. You know, I just wanted to do something.
Sure, I got you.
So here I have, here are the contenders for each list. And what we'll do is we'll do a one-on-one matchup with each. Basically, who you think is going to win in a fight between those two. On the Marvel side, we've got Captain Marvel, obviously, right?
Right. If you say Wonder Woman, I'm leaving.
Well, she's not in Marvel, so hold on. Gamora.
Okay.
Black Widow.
Okay.
Wanda Maximoff.
Uh-huh.
And Sif. Oh, crap. You know what? We're going to scratch Sif. We're going to put Hela in there.
Well, Hela just kind of like, and I would put I can't ever remember their names, but from Black Panther,
Oh, Okoye? Instead of Sif? You think Okoye would beat Sif in a fight?
Maybe? I don't know.
This is a pre-match.
I mean, you put Hela on there. Hela's like, you know.
Sure.
She's going to win anything.
Yeah, you're probably right. Okay, so we're going to leave Hela off.
I would put Sif or Okoye.
Okoye. All right, we'll go with Okoye.
Okay.
And then on the DC side, we got Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Mera from Aquaman.
Right.
Black Canary. Harley Quinn. And then Feyora, who's Zod's henchman in Man of Steel.
Oh, yeah, I remember her.
Yeah.
Is she on? Where's she at?
What do you mean?
I mean, she has superpowers when she's on Earth.
Yeah, well, she's on Earth. Yeah, so basically, she's like the female Superman.
Right. Well, less so, but, you know.
Sure.
She's a
well, less so. This is the geekiest thing we've ever done.
Yeah.
All right, so individual matchups.
Let's go.
Individual matchups, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to put Captain Marvel versus Feyora. So basically, wow.
Okay.
Okoye versus Mera.
Okay.
Wanda versus Wonder Woman.
Wow, that's interesting.
Black Widow versus Black Canary. And then Gamora versus Harley Quinn.
Okay. I'm ready.
Ready?
Yeah. We're going to probably argue about this.
Sure. All right. First matchup. Captain Marvel versus Feyora.
Captain Marvel.
All right. One of those is a Kryptonian, so.
Mm-hmm.
So you think she just... Do you think... First of all, do you think Captain Marvel could beat Superman? I can't believe we're doing this on the podcast.
Not. I think it'd be a fight. I think it'd be a fair fight.
Yeah.
I mean, she has a power stone in her.
Sure.
And she's like probably the most powerful Avenger.
Or you think
Marvel?
But do you think she's more powerful than Wanda is?
Like, as far, I mean, strong.
Sure. Wanda almost beats Thanos.
So does she.
That's true.
Like, she's the only one who, like, stops him. Like, he has to pull an Infinity Stone out of the gauntlet and hit her with it.
Right.
Get her off him. And the only movie we see of, is it Feyora? Is she loses. She gets beat.
Well, sure, she gets outsmarted. She doesn't get, like, she's almost unstoppable.
Okay, but she still loses. I feel like Captain Marvel could outsmart her, and she could match her in strength.
Okay.
What's your argument?
No. I'm kind of with you on this.
Okay. Jesus.
All right, Okoye versus Mera.
Well, first of all, is this in the ocean?
It doesn't matter.
Are we underwater?
Well, there's water around.
Mm-hmm. And she can, like...
Yeah, she has superpowers, basically.
Uh-huh.
So...
I mean, if it's a fight, right? Like, an actual fight.
Uh-huh.
And Okoye... Like, I feel like Okoye would beat her in, like, just a straight... Like hand-to-hand fight.
Sure.
But, I mean, one of them does have superpowers.
Right. So I would think Mera would get this one.
Would she? Personally.
Yeah. She takes out those Atlanteans.
What are we talking about, though? Like, is this like they get put in an arena and they're fighting? Or are they like...
I don't know if you remember, she makes knives out of those wine bottles. Like,
I mean, I know that, but you know, like Okoye's gonna have that already. She has her like cool looking spear.
Sure.
I'll give you Mara.
Okay.
She has superpowers.
All right. Wonder Woman versus Wanda Maximoff.
I think in a fight, right? Like in a straight up fight, I don't think Wanda would have beaten Thanos.
Okay.
Like I think eventually he would have, you know. Jesus Christ.
Go ahead.
It would have gotten her. I think from like just like I think Wonder Woman's gonna win a fight with her.
Mm-hmm.
Like a hand to hand combat fight.
Right. Also, Wonder Woman does beat a god in her first movie.
Yeah. I'm going to give it to Wonder Woman.
Okay. So DC's got this 2-1 right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see. Da, da, da. All right. Black Canary versus Black Widow.
I mean, Black Widow.
Yeah, I think so too. Even without powers.
Yeah. I just think in Black Canary has a specific, very specific like power.
Right.
I think Black Widow would take that pretty easy.
And then Gamora versus Harley
This is Quinn. Not close.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not close. Gamora is going to destroy Harley Quinn.
But Harley's got
she's funny.
She's crazy.
Yeah. So. I mean.
Okay.
Gamora was trained by Thanos, Rob.
Sure, sure.
She's amazing.
That's true. I'll give you that.
Do you think that Harley Quinn could beat Nebula?
I guess not. Nebula's a robot, so I guess not.
Will Gamora beat Nebula?
That's true. All right. We'll see after Suicide Squad. We'll revisit this.
I mean, at the end of the day, Harley Quinn's just nuts, right?
I know, that's her thing.
Is like,
okay.
Jesus Christ! All right,
apologies to the people listening to this podcast for us getting so geeky.
I still think Okoye could beat Mara.
You think so? I don't think so.
I mean, she could.
Sure. Well, she could.
I think it's plausible. I don't think it's plausible for Harley Quinn to beat Gamora.
Right. Okay. All right. That's going to wrap it up. Marvel's going to take that 4-2. Or,
sure.
Sorry, 3-2. 3-2. what are we doing next time, Sean?
I don't know, Ron.
You don't know. We got a Snake Eyes movie coming out, so I'm hoping to do ninjas.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
And then also on the horizon, speaking of DC versus Marvel, we're wanting to do a DC versus Marvel draft. Probably bring in our buddies Adam Rose and Benton Edwards in on that one.
Yeah.
I think that injured. One. Yeah, and that could be super fun.
Yeah.
So our plan is to do.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
To do all DC movies and all Marvel movies. So, not just the MCU and DCEU. So I think that could be really, really great.
You're going to get mad.
No way, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Adam could balance things out. So,
you think he'll choose Superman?
I'm just saying, not necessarily, but he loves DC as much as I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not just your fanboy. Okay. Not your fanboy ramblings I've been dealing with this episode.
Whoa. Wow. Wow.
Wow. All right. Where can they find all our old episodes, Sean?
They can go to genresquad.com and look at those puppies. Click play. They can email us at genresquad at gmail.com. Mm-hmm. They can find us on Facebook at just genresquad. And Twitter at Genre Squad.
Awesome. All right. Until next time, I'm Rob.
I'm Sean.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Goodbye.